I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okame.
We are the Super Media Bros Podcast, and we are founding members of the Odd Pods Media Network.
Hey there, we're BFYTW Podcast. I'm Pantsless Aaron, I'm the host, and we are three silly people playing very silly games for fakey points that don't count for anything. Our permanent team captains are a veteran and a podcaster and a veteran podcaster. It's Stevie.
Hey guys, it's Midnight Smoke here. I love being funny, goofy, and I'm here for your entertainment.
And his permanent opponent, my oldest friend and a gamer and a storyteller, it's Jorge.
Hey guys, Jorge here, HH_Empire, and I am the logical voice to this maelstrom of chaos sometimes.
Well, if you like silly people playing silly games, then you want to come hang out with us at BFYTW Podcast every week. That's BFYTWPodcast.com.
Pouty princesses.
Aunties be going nuts.
Bougie bugs.
All that and more.
Slap at the bass.
Dupa 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 duh.
Super Media Bros.
That Walking Dead, what was it?
Fucking love that shit. What? And that's how they do it on Broadway. We've lost our shit already, and we're not even fucking 2 minutes into this.
We haven't even started.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 147 of the Super Media Bros Podcast.
And now we started.
Yeah, I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
We're back with our For Your Viewing Pleasure series, the 12th installment.
By an artist that I recently discovered, Ian Isaiah. And you're probably wondering, who the fuck is that?
He's your auntie, motherfucker. If I'm not mistaken, it's the first signing to Chromeo's Juliet Records imprint.
Correct. Back in October.
This is definitely fire, and it's really good. Cody introduced this one to me, and I had no fucking... I'd heard that they signed somebody, but I didn't read too much into who it was, and then got presented with this 7-song plethora of funk and awesomeness.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Exactly.
So for those of you out there that have never heard a For Your Viewing Pleasure episode from us, generally what we do is we roll through each album track by track and just kind of break it down a little bit, what we like about each song, maybe tweaks that we would like to hear, or comparatively speaking, which is the strongest track or the weakest track, and we just kind of grade it from there.
Now, to kind of give you like a context of this guy, his previous work dives more into like the club setting, R&B, hip-hop, trap, electronic rap kind of sound with the kind of broad range vocals that he does present. But there was an interview I was actually reading up on. He said like that album, the Sugar Sex Tapes, I think it was, that was more of this, if you want to go get fucked up at a club and have lots of sex, this is the kind of music you're into. This is a completely different direction. This one's more of that R&B, that soul, the funk, the gospel, you know, just a lot of that classic, I'd say like 60s on going to like the late 90s roughly.
Another interesting thing is this is also an alter ego of his, because Ian Isaiah is openly gay, and this is kind of, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this album is kind of his coming out, or it's right. Part of him coming out, which, I mean, the song Loose Truth on here is a prime fucking example of it, but goddamn, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I love how unapologetic it is. It's just fantastic from start to finish. If you want to get into it, we should fucking dive on into this sumbitch.
Going nuts deep.
This is the opening track, mind you, everybody. This is the opening track to this. And you're already transported back to, like, the 70s. This is very 70s, dude.
Mm-hmm.
The production has that, like, post-disco going into, like, R&B and just very fun. The bass line grooves the whole fucking thing. It's four on the floor. It's beautiful. And then the yelling at the end, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that ending kind of plays into how most of society, I guess, took him as a person, to where he's very everywhere when it comes to his style and his persona. And most people don't really appreciate the fact that he's physically a guy, but he can dress like a woman if he wants to. And nobody really cares for that, honestly, in this day and age, which there are some people that do, but not many people.
He can pull it off like a motherfucker, though.
Oh, yeah. That dude's fucking gorgeous as hell, dude.
Hell yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Same.
But yeah, this is a good like starting track for the whole album, because it gives you an idea of just like how that mindset is going. Like, okay, yeah, you're building up to this like soulful like approach to his topic, basically.
I think to add on to that, the song setting the stage for the rest of the album musically, it kind of encompasses everything that you're going to hear going forward. And then it still manages to throw you some curveballs and surprises along the way. And one of those curveballs, for me at least, was Princess Pouty, because at first it's, you know, you can hear P-Thug from Chromeo doing Talkbox, but I want to say they actually produced this album, but this song feels like it would be a Chromeo song.
Right.
But having Ian sing on it, which you were showing me a concert that Chromeo did just about, 3 months ago?
Yeah, it was a telethon by Curran Frost, and they performed this song during their set, basically.
Yeah, they brought Ian out and had him sing on this track, or his track, but they performed the backing for him.
Right.
And you can hear it right off the bat. It's this is absolute Chromeo music.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, I love Ian's vocals on this one. And there's some Prince sprinkled in there. Just Talkbox.
Yep.
This is like 1984, 85 for me. Fantastic. Gets you up off your feet, and you're moving around, you're grooving and shit. Fucking great.
Now this song, the video was actually pretty interesting in a way, because he's in a, not a traditional clown outfit per se. It's more of like his like version of like a clown with a tutu. And he's going through, it looks like a, based like a wharf, one of those, I can't think of the names of them, but it's basically where they have like little shops and like the cornies and stuff like that. It looks like one of those areas. And he's just literally just going through that area, just dancing and being himself in the way of speaking. And it kind of does personify the song for most of it. And I think there's clips of a birthday like celebration, like going kind of wrong, because, you know, Princess Pouty.
Right.
Little girl's birthday, just kind of going down the shitter.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
I'll pout.
I will pout if I want to.
But yeah, it's definitely one of the funner tracks on this album, mainly because, you know, A, it's more heavily Chromeo infused than the rest, and B, it's just uplifting.
Yeah,
There's a few others that are like this, but not as uplifting as this one.
Yeah, I was going to agree with you on that. Hard agree, honestly. If not the most upbeat track on here.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Can't Call It. The bongos and all that shit in the background screams Lionel Richie, screams All Night Long to me. And if you can't hear that influence, check your ears.
This is probably my favorite song by far in the whole album.
Yeah, this is a close second for me from Princess Pouty to this one. So fucking, it's just well done.
Listen to that bass. That just, bass just slaps so hard.
It's so well executed too. And that's the other thing that I keep forgetting, you know, to really stress and drive the point home. Chromeo did a really good job scouting this guy out for their label. It's, you know, just when you think you can't find another artist that is doing what Chromeo's doing, like in a modern setting, you come along and find this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well executed. It's very well done. It sounds authentic. That's the word I was looking for. It's very authentic sounding.
I can't remember the album name offhand, but he actually did guest vocals on one of Chromeo's songs. It was Right Back Home to You. And that's how I knew, like, I knew I heard that voice from before whenever I heard this album like hit. And I was like, that's where it's from.
Yeah, okay, so it was track 6.
Mm-hmm.
That makes all the sense in the fucking world, honestly.
So, like, they knew this guy was something as soon as that came across. But, yeah, I mean, Can't Call It. It's just, all aspects of, like we mentioned earlier, like all the genres of music, like you said, Lionel Richie infused, and just that fucking bass is just on point. The bongos, just the feeling in the vocals, the kind of, it's like a vibey track basically with this like slow little melodic like pause on the chorus. It's like, yeah, I can't call.
And the other part about that too, and I know it's not necessarily like a far reach for this one, but there's some Uptown Funk kind of feel in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's absolutely authentic as shit, but I love that it also has some influence from modern releases as well. So you could definitely take like, oh, it's Lionel Richie's All Night Long crossed with a little bit of Uptown Funk as far as the tempo goes, and the, you know, the stabby keyboard melodies and shit. Lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The next track is called Bougie Heart. Michael fucking Jackson. Like that production, and that's what I mean, like the music production. It's like some Quincy Jones sounding shit, dude.
This is just some heavily sexy ass vibes right here.
Yes. Yeah, like seriously, next time any of you are out there on a date with your partner or whatever, just throw this fucker on.
Yeah, throw Ian into your car with you.
Dude, I would love to have Ian in my car with me, okay? Like, this is fantastic.
Just singing like that? Oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't even need a radio anymore. Just put Ian in the car, in the passenger seat, and just eject the whole fucking radio out the window, because that man is all I would ever fucking need for vocal entertainment musically. Like, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly. Just, yeah.
I have to say, this song crack me the fuck up, because I was listening to it for the very first time, and the very first set of vocals I misheard. Okay, when you listen to it, he says, "I can never let you see me wipe my tears," but my mind immediately went to, "I can never let you see me wipe my ass."
Like, you told me that too whenever, like, you showed it to,
like,
me.
Like, set the mood right now and just picture, like, your girl or your guy just like, "No, honey, I can never let you see me wipe my hands." Like, that's just how broken I am on the inside. My shit is with me and only me.
Only me.
There is no toilet paper out there that is comparable to this shit.
Well, then it ties into the Quarantine Casanova EP with the toilet paper on the fucking cover.
Yes, it does.
Which I want to say was the last for your reviewing pleasure we did.
Mm-hmm.
So how funny was that one to this one? Like Chromeo to a Chromeo signed artist.
Oh yeah. It's all coming together.
The funny part you mentioned, like you being on, people being on a date and talking about, "Oh, you can't let you see me wipe my ass." The next song is called First Love. So that's kind of funny. Like, yep. Leading into it. It's This has some like late 80s, early 90s kind of R&B feel.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say a little Janet Jackson in there?
Tad.
Just a little.
Those like
the nuances.
Those things of the bass. Just, yeah.
Oh, just, and that's the vibe of the whole fucking track.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful.
I mean, that's another like hard hitter on this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is.
The way it starts, it immediately chills you out. It's like, oh, dude, I'm in for a ride on this one. Like, emotionally, not like I'm going to like freak out or anything. It's like, this is like, ooh, oh.
Ooh, and oh.
Yeah. Shock and awe.
Oh. I don't know if that was loud enough. Shock and
oh. There you go.
Right in your fucking ear.
Just awe and inspire your ears.
Inspired production. But anyway, enough with the fish.
The fish.
Enough with the fish. This one is, it's kind of like the dark horse track of this album, because you don't see it coming and it just hits you and you're like, ooh.
Because I mean, you go from like the first four and they're all like banging hard, like awesome. And then you hear this, is like, oh damn, there's more good shit.
There's more.
Yeah.
There's more of it.
But yeah, I just love like just the R&B aspect of this song. It's just, it's a fresh take on that genre that I'm not used to, because you hear a lot of the same slower melodic sounds, and it just doesn't really emphasize that genre as much as it should. This one does to me, with adding that little sprinkle of like that funk and that soul in there here and there.
Right. And I mean, the production has a lot to do with it too, musically, just because, you know, if Chromeo is on it, they're going to, I mean, yeah, they're going to use drum machines here and there, but goddamn, I know the samples they use are actual samples of real drum kits and they use real instruments. They try to be as authentic sounding as possible. And knowing as much as I know about Ian from, you know, just the music I've heard, he seems to strive for this same authenticity. So it's definitely a good matchup. And this song is prime example of wanting to be authentic to that specific genre, that sound.
Well, I mean, it kind of plays into like the whole topic is just being authentic and being yourself and amplifying that in the best way possible.
Absolutely. What's the next track, sir?
Ladybug.
This one is kind of like the jam. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like not every album has this, but I feel like an album that incorporates a band sound, they're gonna have like
all around,
they're gonna have their jam song. This is,
I think, like earlier you were talking about I can't remember what song it was, but you mentioned that it was more like a Prince sound. This one's the heavy Prince sound to me. Like, this one just screams, like you said earlier, 1999. Like,
yes,
that feeling.
Yes, I keep saying the word unapologetic, but it's absolutely unapologetically Prince. And there's nothing fucking wrong with that at all, because Prince was a fucking just mastermind of a musician.
Just an icon.
Yeah.
You can't go any wrong.
Oh, hell no. Again, that's another one of the songs that you're like, okay, what's left in the tank? Because it's only seven songs long. And then that one comes up and it's like, oh, hey. But then it caps off with the closing track, Lose Truth, which is honestly, there's not a lot of roller coasterness to it. It's absolutely very straightforward, which it needs to be with the subject matter.
Yeah, I was about to say, this one's more of getting to the point in a sense.
Right.
I love that vocal.
Same. Definitely like the slow jam, you know what I mean? Like it's the slow jams thing. Like this is the slow jam of the album.
And this is a nice just reintroduction to him being like brought up in the gospel community, basically.
Exactly. And it's difficult for me to like dive into that aspect of music, but I appreciate the fuck out of it, because being having grown up being in choir basically the entire time I was ever in school, I have nothing but appreciation for people with that kind of vocal upbringing and with that background at the same time, because you got to have some oomph, you got to have some fucking soul, you got to have it come, everything comes out from the heart.
Right.
And the theme of this song is exactly that.
Which I think that's a appreciation for that genre, is that brings out the emotional range to amplify your vocal range.
Yep.
Because you have to feel so much with gospel to properly like project that feeling.
Yep, because I don't care what your stance is as far as like your religion or your belief system, you do at the end of the day have to admit, like Cody was mentioning, like that is what makes that sound authentic. That is what makes that sound truthful. You got to believe what you're singing, no matter what. You got to believe it 100%. Lose Truth was a hell of a closer, and I would have been pissed off had it not been the closing track on this one, because the vibe of Nuts, it's so funny.
Got him.
Gotti. The vibe of the first track sets the stage. You go on this ride, like you were mentioning earlier, you go on this ride, and then Lose Truth is like a really good mellow closing, just kind of brings you down. Like, you know, you kind of need that rise, that peak, but you need to slow it down.
It's like the other six songs are I'm kind of choosing the words carefully here, but the different personalities or the different aspects of who he is. And then the Lose Truth is the grounded, like the reality of where it's coming from.
Pretty much. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's the last track. We know this is, you know, short, but like a lot of the albums that we review typically are EPs or shorter releases, because a lot of those are really quick and to the point, no, hardly any filler. It's hard to pick what a least favorite track on here would be because they're so damn good. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they across the board, they're pretty much equal in every way because they bring something unique to this whole EP itself. You have the fun tracks, you have the slowdown, you have the jam sessions, you have the real like hard hitting the funk hits and stuff like that. So it's like, is there really any track that is weaker than the rest?
I don't think so.
You would literally have to like pick apart each song one by one and say, well, this thing didn't do this quite right or whatever. And that's not the point of this. It's like, I think in this aspect, the whole album just shines from beginning to end.
Cody and I never give a 5 out of 5. We never give a 5 out of 5 on this format. This might be the first one. In my opinion, it might be the first one. If not a 5 out of 5, definitely a fucking 4.95.
I say, I think we have one album that was a perfect, but I can't remember what album it was. But that was a while back.
Yeah.
But yeah, to kind of bounce off of what you said, like this is so difficult to not give a high ranking for. Like, I mean the highest of anything, because it's a short EP, but at the same time, like you said, it brings it to what is driving the point. Like, it's getting to where it needs to without having to have all this excess crap that you don't need.
Yeah, there's no overproduction. There's no part of this EP that feels forced. There's no part of this EP that feels like it shouldn't be there. And I think that's why we hold this one in a little bit of high regard. Not comparatively to literally everything, but just as a project, as an album, as an artist. Fucking excellent job. Please keep this up, because this is absolutely just this is beautiful record.
This is how music should be, though. Like, you should have that authenticity, that like realism, that
it's an experience,
that grounding, like, okay, this is where it's all coming from. This is what it means to make music kind of feeling. And that's what this album does.
Yeah.
So I think with me, it's a 5 because it's not overproduced. Like you said, it has the quirkiness, it has the realism, and it has the amount of vibe that it brings into my soul that makes me like, not many albums make me dance and I can actually recall the words like immediately. This album does that. Like with Chromeo, how I can do that, he does it just as good as they do, because I mean, they had their part in it, but at the same time, his aspect of it just amplifies it even more.
Oh, absolutely.
So I give this a 5 because of just the fact that it's memorable, it's fun, it's meaningful, it has reasoning, it has just everything that checks in my book, basically.
Go do all the things. Go to Apple Music, get this shit, do it on Spotify. Just wherever you stream music, get it. Ian Isaiah, Auntie, fucking do it. 5 out of 5 from the Super Media Bros.
Yeah.
Job well done.
I definitely think this is like our second one that's 5, because there was one other, but again, different conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I can't, it sucks because I'm sitting here trying to think, did we give The Weeknd's My Dear Melancholy a 5? Probably. I feel like it might be that one.
Probably, but again, research. Yeah. Where did we give the 5?
Oh, shit. But yeah, check out, if you're listening to this on YouTube, thank you for subscribing. Definitely check out the rest of the For Your Reviewing Pleasures in this playlist, because that's where we put our playlists now. On YouTube, we have the For Your Reviewing Pleasure format in its own group that you can listen to all 12, including this one. We have all of our Cult Cinema Showdown episodes into one file that you can listen to. We have all of our interviews, and then we have all of our episodes in listening order. So thank you. If you're subscribed and listening on YouTube, you guys kick ass. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you have yet to go and give us a rating and review, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Everything is wrong with you.
Everything. If you're streaming us on Spotify, thanks.
You're the real MVPs.
If you're streaming us, period, thanks.
You're even bigger MVPs.
That's it. Check out all the other shows on the Odd Pods Media Network. We are surrounded by 6 other podcasts that are friends, and they are fucking awesome. Check those guys out. Buy a hoodie. It's cold. It's cold in our house. It's getting colder down here. Get a fucking hoodie. Hell, you can get a hoodie, a tank top, a mask, and a t-shirt.
Just wear all of it at one time.
The same fucking time. fucking, you peel the hoodie off. Oh, there's another Super Media Bros logo.
You're just layers of quality entertainment.
You take off your shirt. You're on that first date that we were talking about earlier. You take your shirt off. Super Media Bros tank top.
There you go. And you just see Ian pop up. I was like, this is my truth.
And if your date won't shut the fuck up, slap a Super Media Bros mask on them.
Or a sticker.
That's true, too.
Because the mask, you can still kind of talk through.
That's true. Donate to us if you feel so inclined at ko-fi.com. That is ko-fi.com/supermediabros. Follow us on social media. What's wrong with you? Why have you not done it?
You know, our pictures are very lonely. You guys are just neglecting them.
Over there on that Instagram page, all the stupid pictures that you could possibly want in one sitting.
I mean, are they not stupid enough for y'all?
We can make them stupider.
Because, you know, the quote, you know, Chase Ward, get stupid.
Exactly.
We're going to get stupid.
We're going to get stupid. Stupid.
So let us know how, if they're stupid at all, or if they're not stupid enough for you, we will make them dumber.
Exactly. And thank you for those of you that are following us on Twitter. And if you're not following us on Twitter, go do that shit. Because, I mean, that's where we can primarily be found. Because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Our Facebook is like a goddamn graveyard right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the app is a graveyard at some point. So, there's that.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that all we have?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the gist of it.
The jizz of it?
The jizz of it. The awe of it.
The awe of it. The next time you'll be listening to us will be on Thanksgiving Day. How about them apples?
How about them turkeys, you mean?
How about them turkeys? Coincidentally, both of the films that we're going to be talking about on next week's Cult Cinema Showdown have to do with Thanksgiving. And no, we've already done Thanksgiving 1 and 2, 1 and 3. Not 2, I almost said 2. 1 and 3.
Not yet.
There is no Thanksgiving 2. Only in Thanksgiving 3.
I was about to say, there is a Thanksgiving 2, just not physically.
Exactly. Now, next week we're going to be talking about Blood Rage and Home Sweet Home. God damn it. This, fuck. Just wait. That's all I have to say. Just fucking wait.
That's all you had to say. Just wait.
I am so glad we got our fucking internet fixed because, you know, at one point I was sitting there going, we're going to have to fucking buy these. Cody and I had to, the movies we watched on last week's episode for you motherfuckers, we had to buy those.
Which we're not complaining about at all. It's just, yeah, we couldn't stream anything.
Yeah, so we had to buy them. I'm thinking heavily, heavily about at some point doing a giveaway of like certain films from our Cult Cinema Showdown series where it's like, hey, if you really like this and you want to own a fucking copy of the movie directly from us, just, I don't know, just let us know. We may surprise you. We may just be like, hey, you want this fucking movie? Here, take this fucking movie.
No, all we're going to do is just like one day just have a wild hair up our ass and just, you know what? We'll just send it to blindfold that person. And then you're just going to wake up like a week later. Where does this movie come from? You're welcome.
How'd these guys get my address?
We just did.
How do they know where I live?
Shh.
Go back to sleep.
Watch this movie.
This movie will kill you.
Don't question. Just watch. Just imagine like a serial killer just going through the movie and just going, oh.
Oh.
What does he do to kill you? He shoves knives in your mouth.
Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'm kind of done. We've got to prepare ourselves winter to watch these fucking movies.
I was supposed to say winter is coming. It's like, no, that's already done. That's been done.
Had been done.
Yeah.
And I believe we actually have our Santa Media Bros 2020 lineup this year, and it's looking pretty stellar. I gotta say,
pretty saucy.
Should we give them the lineup?
We should.
Have they been good people this year? Have you been good this year?
Probably not.
It doesn't matter. This year hasn't been good to us, so fuck it. We're giving the presents anyway.
Just contradicting the bad year. Yeah, have you been bad? It don't fucking matter.
It don't matter. None of this fucking matters.
No.
So if you've been in the middle, you haven't been bad. You haven't been good. You've been just kind of the Superman, yeah, bros, you're are going to.
You've just been Jimmy the E-World, yet you've been in the middle.
It just takes some time. So when December kicks off, we're actually going to kick it off. Last year, we got drunk off our asses and watched the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Thank God.
We're not having to get drunk this year because there is a Lego Star Wars Holiday Special on Disney Plus, and we have every intention to watch it and talk about it on this show because it seems like it'll be a goddamn treat. The first Call Cinema Showdown in December will be Christmas Evil versus Silent Night Bloody Night, not to be confused with Silent Night Deadly Night from last year.
This one's slightly more bloody than that one.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to lie. And then we're going to talk about a short film from the same guy that directed Hobo with a Shotgun. It's called Treevenge. If you haven't seen this, go watch it. It's like 8 minutes, and it'll probably be some of the best 8 minutes of your entire life, aside from the fucking ninth minute that you had sex. Some 8 minute wood for that extra minute that you lost at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You just lost track of time. It's like, what am I doing? Oh, that.
What am I doing? And the Christmas Day, the Christmas Day release. I cannot fucking wait for this one. Last year, I think we got fun. We had fun with Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. That was a lot of fun. But I think this year will be a bigger fun. No, not because the movies are bigger, but because the stupidity level is through the fucking roof. We're going to watch Santa Slay with Bill Goldberg. And we're going to watch that one go up against Jack Frost. The actual scary one. The not Michael Keaton Jack Frost.
No.
the shitty snowman, killer snowman thing.
Because we want stupid shit, not like, ugh, this is stupid.
Right, exactly. I think that's it.
I believe so.
Cool. Then let's get the fuck out of here. That was for your reviewing pleasure 12. Until next week, I've been Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
Shades on. Wolf!